Pastors Larry and Tiz Huck welcome you to this weekly Torah study from New Beginnings Church in Bedford, Texas, taught by Pastor Scott Sigmund. We pray this message will help you better understand how God's Old Testament wisdom and New Testament revelation are meant to jointly fit together.
We're going to talk about Torah portion 14. It's about Pharaoh's hard heart. And it's in Exodus 6, 2 through 9 and 35. I can think of when you think about how Pharaoh's heart is like, how can somebody just keep going down the same road and never change and don't even think that they need to change? I know. Moses is leading the Jewish people out of several hundred years of unbelievable slavery, torment, and suffering and bondage. And it's such a powerful illustration of God's divine plan of redemption. And we have that same redemption today, amen? Yeah. It's a picture of our own, a symbolic of the work of the Messiah. And God's amazing grace. Thank him for his grace and the power of the blood and the power in his name will bring everyone who believes into a new beginning. And you know what? And that's still for us too. For us, so even though some of us are Christians, we can always change and do things and not keep growing, and we continually need a new beginning. Amen? thank God for his grace and mercy. It's another one of those Holy Ghost coincidences in the Torah portion today, because it's the week on Jewish slavery in Egypt leads us into the celebration of commencement of one of America's great citizens and leaders, Dr. Martin Luther King, which we just had celebrated his birthday. And all over the world, people know about him, and even in Israel, and they're celebrating him because a lot of places think he, you know, coincides with Moses and what he was doing. Amen. So in 1964, Dr. King became the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize for his leadership in the nonviolent struggle for voting rights, desegregation, labor rights, and civil rights. And whatever happened to the nonviolent struggle? People are just out of their minds now. And with all the violence, and it's like, you know what? You know that's the enemy. Just changing people's hearts, their minds. People are confused. It's chaotic, you know, and then they keep inputting the wrong ideas, and how many people are grabbing those ideas? And a lot of the people that are doing all this violent stuff, they're confused. They're blinded. They're confused. You can see when they talk about the things that they're doing, it's like, I don't know what I was doing. Something just made me do it. Or I had this happen to me, and so now I'm lashing out. Or they don't even know why. They don't even know. Thank God that we have eyes to see. He was also awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom, the Congressional Gold Medal, and his life has been honored with a national holiday. And hopefully all of us got the day off, but some of us didn't. I'm like, whatever happened to that? President's Day and all that? Everybody used to get those days off. Now it's just like, you know, we just celebrate, oh, happy President's Day, happy Martin Luther King, and we still have to work. It's like, what is going on here? They're missing the point. It's a time to remember, just like, you know, Christmas or Passover. It's a time to remember what those things are all about. And if we would constantly do that, our lives would change. Amen. Because if people would remember why it's a national holiday for Dr. Martin Luther King, of the things that he's done, they would remember he was a nonviolent person that did the struggle for civil rights and the rights of all Americans, no matter what color they were. He didn't care. He didn't separate it. It's just, you know, was worried about, or not thinking about, or worried about, but just wanting everybody to think about, it doesn't matter what you look like. It's what kind of character do you have. Amen? Amen. Amen. And if everybody would hold on, we need to pound that into some people's heads. But you know what? They've forgotten that, this generation. You know what? In a lot of places, all of us, people of color, non-people of color, there's no more real leaders. out there anymore like it used to be. You know, and so it's like, where are they, God? Maybe it's us. It's definitely the church, though, right? You know, because before they've taken that power away. Now it's time for us to take that power back. On August 28th in 1963, he stood in front of 250,000 people in that march in Washington, D.C., and delivered that famous speech, "I Have a Dream." And Moses had a dream. He had a dream, and he had a speech, and I think that's where he got that. And it's one of the most influential things and speeches that is still quoted. Still quoted today. And he never backed down from what he believed and what he stood against. And Moses never backed down. He was a little scared at first, but he never backed down because he knew that God wanted him to do that. He knew he had seen God. He was changed. His thought pattern, his mind was changed. And he knew that that's what he was supposed to do. If only we could have that clarity in all the things that we should be doing. And sometimes God tells us, we just don't always hear it. Or it's too scary, so we step back. Amen. Till you keep getting prodded to do it. That's like when we were supposed to come here and we're like, no. I'm like, no, we're not going anywhere. I mean, I got these jobs and we're doing good. We have this great ministry. But God kept nudging. For us to give it up and leave, you know. So hopefully, you know, when you get that nudging, if it keeps coming up, it's just not your idea. So just like he never backed down in a stand against racism, and he had a dream of post-racial society. And why is it that America is the only place that identifies people by color? I mean, just think about that, because in Israel, there's black Jews, there's brown Jews, there's white Jews, but they're Jewish. In Cuba, there's different colors of Cubans, but they're Cubans. But here, you know, we got to have the black race, the white race, Hispanic race. Instead, why can't we all just be Americans? And you know, and they used to hate me in high school, because back in those days, that was me. I marked when I said racial ethnic, I put American. And they kept saying, "You can't do that. You got to mark one of these things." I said, "But that's what I am. I'm an American." If we could all just get that thought pattern and get that in us when they do that. And it's like, why are they trying to keep track of how many people in different races there are? And if you look back in the time of Moses and even before him, the pharaohs, what did they do? They had the census, and then they tried to kill all the male babies to cut down on the population. And even in our time with Stein, who did Planned Parenthood, that was her idea, which is why Planned Parenthood started in the minority neighborhoods, because she wanted to cut down on the population. People forget why Planned Parenthood was started. Because you can get, women can have their rights and have their exams anywhere. But they make it sound like, we have to have Planned Parenthood. But we don't. And I just think about all that when we have our character, when we know God's word and we study God's word, it changes and elevates and manipulates our character, because we want to have the character of God. Amen. Dr. King was not just a civil rights leader. He co-pastored Ebenezer Baptist Church, which I've seen in Atlanta, with his father, Reverend Martin Luther King Sr. You didn't hear too much about him, but Martin Jr., he was a powerhouse. He was a powerhouse. He not only loved the Lord, he also loved Israel and the Jewish people. Yes. He was quoted as saying, "Peace for Israel, for the Israel nation means security." I guess I need my glasses. He has this little tiny print. "Means security, and we must stand with all our might to protect her right to exist its territorial integrity and the right to use whatever sea lanes it needs. Israel is one of the great outposts of democracy in the world and a marvelous example of what can be done, how desert land can be transformed into an oasis of brotherhood and democracy. Peace for Israel means security, and that security must be a reality. Amen. Amen. And it's still, they're still fighting for it today. And if people say they are Christians and read the Bible, I don't know where they missed that David bought that land, the mound, and he never sold it to anybody. So how can you miss that, UN? In many ways, Dr. King saw his life's work echo the call of Moses. They both stood boldly against overwhelming opposition to declare, "Let my people go." The night before he was murdered, Dr. King said in his final speech, "Well, I don't know what will happen now," because he had a dream. He knew what was happening. Isn't that funny that he knew what was happening? And all the time Moses was taking all the people, he knew he was not going to go into the promised land too. "I've been to the mountaintop," he said in a comparison to Moses at Mount Nebo. "Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land." Amen. Amen. In certain ways, the Black American story parallels the Jewish story. Both groups have had to face overwhelming harassment, persecution, and even genocide, which is the deliberate and systematic destruction in whole or in part of an ethnic, racial, religious, or national group. And it's also happening to Christians. They're trying to stop us. We're included in that group. They want us to be quiet. But you know what? God won't let us be quiet. When you know the truth and understand that that truth will set you free and give you a voice. Amen. 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 Thank God both Moses and Dr. King had the ability to see beyond the suffering and the struggle with a sense of hope and faith. And what did Jesus do? He gave us hope and he gave us more faith than we ever could have. And that faith grows. It doesn't stay stagnant in where we first had it. But even though, I tell you what, if you remember when you first got saved, you could do anything. I remember the going to work when I first got saved and heard about healing and everything and laying on of hands. I went to work. This guy hurt his wrist, and I just went over there and said, "Well, let me pray for you," and laid hands on him and prayed. And, you know, he looked at me like, okay. You know? But you know what? You don't fear anything. We still need that. We still need that inside of us to not be afraid of anything, because God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. That's right. And we have forgotten that drive that we had when we were first saved, because, you know, we're hearing the word and we're doing that, but life goes on and things distract us and, you know, and other things happen. But we still need to remember the faith that we had from the beginning, just like the disciples when they first were with Jesus. They were excited. We were excited. Nothing could stop us. We didn't care who was around. I remember we used to go out in the streets and preach to everybody. I know when Pastor Scott and I got married, we got married at City Hall, and then right after that, we went out to get people saved in the, you know, where we came from. And I was like, why did we do that? What happened to honeymoons and all that? But we were so on fire that we just didn't think, okay, we're married. Okay, let's go. And out we went, you know, trying to get people saved and everything. And it's like, okay, now I think back and I said, what were we thinking? But we want to remember, freedom is never, Dr. King said, freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded by the oppressed. And we need to demand that we can speak the word of God. We need to demand equality for everybody, no matter who they are. And Black History Month is coming up, you know, next month, actually next not next week, the week after, and I did have some handouts that I got to for FYI, your information, on some of the black Americans that have contributed to America that we never heard of. And some of them we have heard of, but so many times it's forgotten because it's not told. So, and everybody, no matter what your skin color is, we all have contributed to America. We still contribute to America. When we open our mouths, we contribute what we have to America. America has a lot of people that don't know Jesus. They might have heard about him, but they don't know him. And that's what we want to do. And that's what Moses was trying to do to Pharaoh. He was trying to get across to him, this is God, and God is more powerful than you, and he can change the way you're thinking. Amen. The general idea of the 10 plagues, it's been over 400 years since God's promised Abraham. It seems like every step of the journey through each generation, there was some type of impossible test or overwhelming obstacle. And look at the obstacles we face today. And sometimes they look overwhelming. How can we stop all this violence? How can we stop people killing each other? How can we stop, you know, people from stopping us from preaching the gospel? You know, it looks like overwhelming obstacles. But God, you know, praise God, none of it crushed Israel, amen, and we're not going to let it crush us. Amen. It's not a point of no return. Amen? Amen. So it's like looking at all of that, and we want to make sure that we stop them from trying to take the Ten Commandments. They already took it out, but I think I read somewhere that President Trump trying to get prayer at least back into the schools. Hallelujah. Amen. Because when, you know, I tell you what, when we had the Ten Commandments, it gave you something to look at, something to, it was a beacon for us. Okay, these are the Ten Commandments. We need to obey them, even though they might have thought some of us were bad. But that was still in the forefront of our minds. And our parents told us about it. And, you know, and most parents made their kids go to church. And now that's not happening. So the kids nowadays don't know the Ten Commandments. They don't know how to pray. They don't even know who God is. You know, and that's, you know, you think about that, that's really a shame. And that's why there's so much confusion. So much confusion in the world because people don't know who God is. Children are not brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children are not brought up knowing that there's a purpose for their lives. And a lot of times that's why they get into all the confusion and chaos of the world. And most of them don't even look at the news. They're all on their phones and they only believe what they see in Instagram. Yep. And I know even the kids when they were in watching TV, when kids are younger, and I was talking to my daughter about one program, and she was like, oh, no, that's real. I said, that is not real. It's a TV program. None of it's real. It's all scripted. And then my son, who does commercials, and he did a couple of movies, and he did something on, I can't even remember what it was, some teenage show that they watch. And my daughter mentioned that to him. Mom said, and he said, and he said, she's right, because he said everything, even what he did, it's scripted. He said all the reality shows, people believe those, the kids believe those, but they're scripted. They have to say and do what they're telling them to do to make it look like reality. But that is not reality. We live in reality. God's word is reality. He says his book is our instruction manual. And some of them don't even believe that. Because they say, oh, well, man wrote it. Yeah, man wrote it, but they were inspired by the Lord. And people don't get that inspiration. They have no idea what that is. They don't even know how to hear the voice of God, even though he's talking to them. And sometimes he's talking to them through us or through other people, but they don't recognize that because they think reality TV is real. Here in Egypt, after years of blessing through Joseph, suddenly, the new Pharaoh, it seemed like their lives turned overnight. The entire Jewish world came crashing down. Egypt, or the new Pharaoh, forgot the many contributions that Israel had made to make Egypt a success. They enslaved the Israelites to both Pharaoh, which means wild, undisciplined, and unrestrained, as well as to Egypt, which means constrained, restricted, and limited. And I tell you what, names mean so much that sometimes we don't even think about. To think about Pharaoh, wild, undisciplined, and unrestrained. And that's exactly how he was. And then Egypt, meaning constrained, restricted, and limited. And Egypt limited their abilities. And you think about that, and sometimes you look around us, and sometimes we're in Egypt. You know, right now the powers that be over America are limiting us and trying to restrain us from doing what God has told us to do. Living decent lives, making decent wages, just enjoying our lives. That's what the Bible says that we have. And why are they trying to control it? Power, just like Pharaoh, power. Each of those reveal a different form of slavery. Egypt enslaved the Jews physically, first by introducing severe taxes to confiscate their wealth. Then later, he pounded them, took form in the taskmasters, and then decreed to kill all the male babies to keep their numbers down. I mean, just think about that. That they would go through that length to keep people down. Pharaoh enslaved their souls by forcing a culture of paganism and immorality up on them. And we could say Pharaoh's doing the same thing right now to us. Forcing a culture of paganism without God is what they're trying to do. And immorality, and we see it everywhere. Everywhere. And most of that immorality is just because it's chaos and it's confusion. They just don't know. And then when somebody tells them about it, they don't want to believe it because they see everything around and they want to fit in. I know I was reading somewhere, I was telling my daughter because they don't read like I do or pay attention, but that they were trying to introduce the homosexual lifestyle to kids in kindergarten. And I told them that, and they're like, no way. And I'm like, yes, way. Wow. Kindergarten. That's crazy. They don't need to know that. No, they don't. They just need to enjoy learning. Right. You know, enjoy learning everything they can. They don't need to know about somebody's lifestyle. And then we have people who said that, you know, they don't want to be identified as their gender. God said he created man and woman. That's our genders. There is nothing else. Men and women. But, you know, it's like, it's amazing. It sounds like, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah all over again. We're not really looking for those angels to come and see what's going on. But I tell you, you know, you look at all that and how they're infiltrating our school system and how they're trying to change the way the young kids and young adults think. Even in the colleges, they're, you know, questioning God. Who's God? Is there a God? It's more scientific. But even they can't dispute the science. They can't dispute the science. Our bodies are what? Men and women. How can you change that? And those people that are getting changed, most of them are committing suicide because now they have no identity. They don't know who they are. You know, so we need to pray for them, lift them up, the kids that are growing up now in this society, and you know, just thank God that that laborers are crossing their paths on a daily basis and hear the truth in their spirit inside of them will know that it is the truth that they're hearing. Amen. Amen. God sent Moses at the appropriate time as a redeemer and deliverer to save the people from slavery. In Exodus 5:1-2, and throughout the rest of the story, Moses continues to demand that Pharaoh let his people go. It was only through sending the 10 plagues that Pharaoh and Egypt were brought to their knees. And ultimately, it was the final plague, the death of the firstborn, that actually resulted in Pharaoh's decreed to let the Israelites go. And why did it have to take so long? After all of that, each one of those plagues, God was giving him a chance to change his mind. He epitomizes a national leader who consistently and consciously and openly defies God. He refused to recognize God as the supreme authority. He refused to recognize God. You would think with having arrogance like that and listening to Moses and seeing the things that God is doing, he had to know it wasn't Moses doing it. He had to. So then it's like, okay, if Moses isn't really doing that, then who's doing it? And maybe I need to rethink what I'm thinking. The purpose of the plagues are more than just punishment of crimes against humanity that included ongoing brutality, violence, and mass murder. It was to declare that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is running the show. And he refused to believe it. He wasn't blinded because he saw it. And I know he had to think about it. But that stubbornness, that arrogance just would not let him change. Egypt never really had a more moral foundation to begin with. And he was trying to help them to change their understanding. Amen. This is one of the reasons that the rabbis teach the first nine plagues only affected the Egyptians and not the Jews. They were released as much for provoking moral and social changes as much for securing Israel's release. And look at what's happening now. There's things going on in America that we never had before. That are going on, diseases and things, a chance for people to change moral and socially. And it's like, okay, there's a parallel here. And how many people will miss it and not even know? God was showing them that their culture was evil, criminal, and immoral and must be drastically altered. And look at our culture. Look what's happening to our society and what they're trying to have as social, you know, a socialist country. It's like, look around you. Why are Americans like have tunnel vision? We only want to see what's going on here in America. But if you look at other nations that are, you know, under socialism, they're not working. They're not working. Why would we even think that it would work here? Arrogance. To think, okay, it's not working there, but we can make it work. Only us humans would think that way. And it's like Pharaoh saw the terrible prices people were paying, but he refused to see the moral lessons. And, you know, and like today, secular leaders today refuse to connect the spiritual and biblical dots. Why? When they all say they're Christians. They all say they're Christians. Yeah, it's like you listen to, well, we're going to pray for them. What kind of prayers are you praying? Right. It's like, what kind of prayers are you praying? Dr. Keene said, our scientific power has outrun our spiritual power. We have guided missiles and misguided men. And why are we trying to go to send people to live on the moon? God created this earth for us to enjoy. Amen. Even when Pharaoh seemingly repents, it always comes after one of the plagues. And then he changes his mind again. He starts to repent. Repenting before the plague would have shown Pharaoh was humbling himself before the Lord, but he couldn't have that. He shows he was coming to grips as a truth, and in fact, it would have shown that he was coming to grips with the truth. But throughout history, how many human beings could not do that? They could not come to grips with the truth that God is almighty. He's given us a certain amount of power and authority, but he has the right to expect changes in us. Amen. Pharaoh makes it clear he was only afraid of the plague and its consequences, not the one who sent it. And how many people do we see today in our government and even in our churches that have arrogance and pride? They're not giving the glory to God, but taking the glory for themselves. Amen. And sometimes it's like we think about some of these pastors. It's like, were you called to be here? Some people just haven't. It's their job. It's their job. You know, and it's like, okay, you can't make things happen. Only God makes things happen. Either you're called to be here or you're not called to be. And if you're not called to be, just get a job. Because you're making other Christians, you know, fall. You know, they're getting confused. They don't really know what's going on because some of them are teaching the wrong things. Amen. Because it's just not grace. We have to work out our salvation. This introduces a valuable lesson for believers when it comes to our level of obedience to the Word of God. It's possible to be in church, be saved, on your way to heaven, but still miss the mark, never progressing and never even regressing back. Like Pastor always says, the places where they put all these man-made laws, you got to wear your hair the same way. You can't, you know, you can't dress the same way. You know, you have to speak a certain way. You have to walk a certain way. You know, you have to sit divided. That's man-made stuff. It was never like that back in the days of Jesus. Everybody was together in the synagogue. Everybody was together. And they came as they were. Amen. The problems we face can boil down to not what the enemy is doing, but instead how we're missing it with our own personal choices, which is what Pharaoh was doing. He was making a choice. Even though God sent all the plagues, he still made the wrong choice. He wanted to do what he wanted to do and not what God was wanting to do. This leads us to an understanding as to why God didn't send the 10th plague first, because he could have. Why not just get rid of all at the beginning and start over? Once Pharaoh refused to let the Jews go, though, the Lord could simply have destroyed Egypt in one sweep. So why did it take nearly 12 months and 10 plagues? The answer reveals the nature of the God we serve. He's a God of grace and a God of mercy. Even in the Old Testament. Some people think it's only in the New Testament. But he showed his mercy and grace throughout the whole Bible. He's patient, long-suffering, not willing that any of his creation perish, but that all come to the knowledge of the truth, whether that be a sinner today or with Pharaoh in Egypt. I'm trying to make sure I watch the clock to make sure we're getting out of here. Because I can't see Gerald back there giving me the sign. 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's one thing Pharaoh couldn't do. God is patient, tolerant, and forgiving. His divine nature is to provide people with what seems to be an eternity to come to their senses. He wants us all to come to our senses. So we need to make sure we're taking all these thoughts that we have sometime under subjection to the Word of God. We need to challenge everything that we think and do according to the Word. Amen? Amen. It might seem right to us, but that doesn't mean it's right according to God. The Lord is always willing and waiting for us to have that come to Jesus moment. God never gives up on us. Thank you, Lord. Because I know we're not perfect. He knows we're not perfect. And he knows that why? Because he sent his son Jesus to find out what we were like. People forget that's why he came, to find out what we were like so he can be our mediator, so he can stand in the gap for us. So that's why he's at the right hand of God, because he knows how we are. He knows we're leaky vessels. He knows we need help. We need intercession. So he's up there. He died to give us that chance, that covenant, that relationship that we can have with God, which is why we pray. Prayer is having a relationship with God. And sometimes we forget that. We just pray for everybody and pray for things we want. But that's building our relationship with God. It's just our communication channel. Amen? God never gives up on us. Woo! Yes. He helps us, teshuvah, return, repent, turn around. When we read about Pharaoh and how he handled things, the more you realize that one who stubbornly continues down a certain undesirable path finds it harder to disconnect himself from it. And sometimes it's just because you don't want people to look at you a certain way or you want to fit in. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to examine ourselves. Being stubborn at times can be a virtue, but mostly it's considered a character flaw. How do we look? How do we look? As a virtue, it's persistence or tenacity. As a defect or a flaw, it's being inflexible or obstinate. The fact of the matter is that people who are never wrong never have to change their policies. And that was Pharaoh. He was never wrong. Back then, they considered themselves gods, which is why he couldn't accept Almighty God. Amen? Because of what would people think? They can't change their policies, beliefs, or behaviors. A personality flaw comes with our nature. Comes with our nature. Proverbs 18:12 says, proud people will be ruined, but the humble will be honored. Amen. We need to let the Holy Spirit do a heart examination so that any hard-hearted, Pharaoh-like qualities with us can be removed. And we have to see that in ourselves. Who are we? How are we living? How is our heart? Do we reach out to other people, or is it just all about us? You know, and sometimes it's easy to do that because, you know, our little bubble, we're in our bubble. And when things happen to us, it's all about us. Just like Pastor said when it happened with his family, with Tiz and Lion, he said he understands now that when things happen in your life, you put yourself in that bubble. When things go wrong in your marriage, you put yourself in that bubble. Things go wrong with your kids, you put yourself in that bubble and you can't see outside. But that's why you have a family. That's why he has us. They got through the troubles with their family, pastor and them, because he had us lifting up his hands, praying for him and his family, believing God, standing in there, taking on some of that suffering on ourselves to lighten his load. When he knew we were all for him, he could breathe. Amen? And that's what we want to do for other people. That's what we want other people to do for us. Amen. These are obstacles to the power of God changing what is into what could be. Miracles. That's what could be. Miracles. And Pharaoh saw a miracle. He didn't want to see it the way he saw it, but eventually he got to see that God is in control. 2020 is going to be our best year ever, don't you think? Amen. Especially if we follow Romans 12:2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-informed maturity in you. And we want to always be that way. We want to have God change us from the inside out. We don't want to be like everybody else. Amen. We don't want to be like Pharaoh. We want to be like Moses, who risked his life. Martin Luther King, who risked his life to try to make a change. And God is leaving it up to us. We're his army. We're his hands, his feet, his voice. And he's leaving it up to us to change this world. And guess what? There's nobody out there that can do it but us. Amen. 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 Well, I'm going to stop to get everybody out. Thank you for attending Torah study. Enjoy your day. God bless you.